Okay, so subject of my talk today is elastic turbulence, and hopefully I will explain at the end of my talk what is this. So I need to apologize to those people who yeah, to those people who already heard part of this talk. It's not the same talk. All right, because it's extended a little bit. So, in any case, I'm going to talk about elastic turbulence, and very naturally, I have two parts in this talk. So, one is about first part is about passive advection of polymer, and the second part will follow from the first one, and it will be attempts to construct elastic turbulence theory. And I need to stress from the very beginning that all this study was stimulated by a very nice experiment done in Weizmann Institute in a group of Victor Steinberg. So I'll try to explain some of the experimental results, and also I'll conclude by some speculation about inertial elastic turbulence. So what is referred to as a drag reduction by polymers. And it will be, so once I proceed from the first part to second and third, it will be, in a sense, less and less rigorous, right? So but, what? Any case. And this is, there are two papers I wrote on this, on those three subjects, and they can be found on the web. So, as I said, I have a polymer put in a turbulent flow, and the statistics of a flow will be assumed to be known. And the question is, what is the statistics of polymer? How polymer stretched? And of course, it reminds us famous story of passive advection, passive scale advection, and of course it will be kind of essential part of this passive polymer advection story, but of course it's only part of the truth, because now it's not only advected by velocity, but also there is elasticity, which competes with advection. And how to see this? Once again, we have just one polymer to start from, and we need to explain, to start from writing balance of forces acting on a polymer, and we need to equilibrate friction of polymer against the flow. So flow is very is viscous, not very, but well, it may be very viscous or just viscous. So there is a polymer is moving in a flow, and there is a friction against the flow, and of course I need to equilibrate this force with elastic force, and there is a temperature, so there is a thermal force, Langevin term, Langevin noise. That is a kind of basic equation of motion for my polymer, and I'm working in a reference frame associated with one of the beads. Let's think first about just two beads connected by springs. This is my model A. Model B, spring connected, connecting two beads. So then, if you're in a reference frame of one bead, your friction is proportional to relative velocity, and it's precisely what is written here. And this way, you have equation of motion for your rho, which is separation between those two beads. And now what you want to understand statistics of rho, which is end-to-end polymer length, or just radius of duration of polymer, provided statistics of velocity field is known. Now, important thing, which simplifies life here, simplifies calculation, and actually the story, is the scale separation. All polymers which people have in experimental situation, experimental lab, they're very short, very small in comparison to actually all hydrodynamic scales. So I can easily use what Grisha explained today as a bachelor decomposition of velocity. So velocity is smooth for all my purposes. And now, it means that what is left is statistics of sigma, which is velocity gradient, to be fixed. And as a reminder, this story for passive scalar is very well known, well, was recently developed, again, it was discussed today. So I will use kind of the same kind of mathematics, same kind of approach to describe my problem here. Okay. And yep.
Even though the scale separation is there, there is no scale separation time scale.
Not necessarily, but I'll assume this. Right. And in many situations, and well, in all situations I know, it is there. Of course, yeah. Okay. So let me now start playing with my models which I have. So this is the simplest possible model which you can assume, you can suggest, is just a hook linear elasticity. So force acting on a spring, elastic force is just proportional to the separation. And it may be, of course, nonlinear elasticity, and you will see that nonlinearity plays an essential role in the story. But also, I will be discussing a chain of beads connected. So it will be really polymer with many beads and many springs. So now let me start from a model A, which is just linear hook polymer, and equation for equation of motion for my polymer for rho is linear, and of course I can easily write down formal solution. Formal because W is the same time-ordered exponential Grisha was talking about, and it's kind of easy to apply machinery explained to this case. So what I need to give an answer for what the statistics of rho provide the statistics of sigma is known, and this story. Well, let me just give you an answer because it's more or less straightforward. Once again, it's a story about Lyapunov exponents, and I have incompressible velocity, so leading Lyapunov exponent gives major contribution, and I may restrict my story, my description just by statistics of lambda, and statistics of lambda is given by this universal form where S is the entropy function, and provided my times are bigger than average Lyapunov exponent time, I have just exponential stretching. And finally, I'm getting this answer for nth moment of my polymer, of separation within polymer beads. And the answer is kind of interesting. So, of course, I can translate it into PDF. And PDF is algebraic. This was found by Zhenya Balkovsky, Sasha Fuchson, and Volodya Lebedev in a recent paper. Although they predicted that there is a transition. Indeed, if you increase Lyapunov exponent, if you increase level of your mixing, amplitude of your mixing, you will cross from a perfectly convergent second moment, and they've been interested in second moment by the reason I'll explain later. So just basically a radius of duration, mean radius of duration, mean square radius of duration of polymer, and you see that there is an abrupt jump from perfectly convergent answer, which is basically given by dissipation scale coming from temporal fluctuations, from temperature fluctuations to infinity within this model. Even if you go even further, you will see that, basically PDF is not bounded. There is something else here which is out of the model, which you need to add to get a closed description, closed PDF. So it is algebraic growth instead of algebraic decay. So something could happen here, and lambda is a Lyapunov exponent. So average lambda bar is Lyapunov exponent. So it's characteristic of your velocity field. What we have to do, we have to move to nonlinear case. Basically, what you are getting here, you are getting that polymer. So nothing can prevent polymer from stretching. Nothing within this linear description. And of course, if you'll count nonlinearity, you'll get saturation. And what the next slide is about. What? What Jenny is talking about is. What can happen that stretch polymer is already stretch enough to change velocity field at this big scale. That is the first this is a possibility. But what is really happening in experiment is that scale of even stretch polymer is much smaller than the scale of velocity field. In what follows, I can easily, in what follows, it is really nonlinearity which can stop polymer from stretching, but not back reaction. But two possibilities are in principle available.
But the polymer can be stretched out fully in the linear case, that's it.
No. If you increase further amplitude of, basically, if lambda will keep increasing, nothing, and if certain threshold is exceeded, so this A is more than zero. Okay, Hooke's. It's precisely nonlinearity which will stop this stretching of polymer. Stat, you had a question. What? This is a general story of Bechler velocity field. So velocity field is assumed to be large scale, and everything you need to know is the entropy function. What? It's arbitrarily time correlated. It should be finite time correlated, no algebraic decay in time, but all other things are allowed. Well, it's a question to Grisha. This is once again, it's a general story. So you can recalculate from statistics of velocity field this entropy function more or less synonymically. And I'm just taking this result as granted here in this. It's very straightforward. It can be proven and shown. Okay. So I'm switching to nonlinear dumbbell, and actually also to a chain in next second.
There is also another effect when you expect the elastic energy stored in the molecule becomes very large. So that could be effect.
And can affect velocity back. Yeah, it can. It can, but at the moment I'll assume that I'm entering this nonlinear regime with still not much of energy in a polymer. And after all, you're thinking not about single polymer, you're thinking about soap of polymers, right? And I have concentration, which is at another parameter, and if concentration is my mixture is dilute, I obviously have this one polymer, right? Okay. Right. So Yeah, and now you see that there is a perfect saturation, and once again I can answer all questions. And talking about theoretical side, it may be done through saddle point calculation and a parameter which allows you to make those calculations simple is basically a ratio of stretch polymer scale length to equilibrium polymer length. So if this ratio is big, then you have in other words, if time of stretching from equilibrium to the stretched state is big in comparison with diffusion time, then you are say on a safe side, and you can apply this. Any case, you are getting nice PDF with an algebraic part on the left, and depending on the kind of nonlinearity, you are getting exponential or stretch exponential with the exponent, depending on the kind of nonlinearity you have in the non-hook modeling. I'm not sure I have much time for this part, but it's more or less straightforward. And the major idea, so now this part, so chain model C is a chain, so many beads connected by nonlinear springs. And in principle, it's a kind of not very simple problem because of conformations, which, all those off collinear conformations which may contribute. But because I'm considering very strange situation, in a leading code, I can restrict myself to those collinear line conformations only. And I can show that contribution from those offline conformations in a case of incompressible flow is suppressed indeed. Again, this parameter allows me to do this. And actually, additional parameter helps, which is number of springs, number of springs, number of bits in the polymer. And schematically, the answer is the same, but this maximum of PDF, or probability distribution function, is achieved at, at some value, which I'm calling stretch polymer length. And of course, it depends on all parameters of the model, on this potential, nonlinear potential, on number of bits, and there is some answer here. Okay. So let me now, in 10 minutes which are left, let me try to make some use of this passive story for active case. Let me first remind you what is non-Newtonian hydrodynamics is about, and what is my approximation. We have the same Navier-Stokes explaining dynamics of the flow, but now additionally to viscous stress, we have a stress coming from elasticity, coming from polymer, and this is tau. And if you consider dilute solution, if your polymers are not talking to each other, then you can estimate, you can calculate contribution to the stress tensor, basically multiplying single polymer contribution by concentration. And it's what's written here, and this is kinetic theory approximation. And once again, scale separation allows me to do this. In this case, I assume that interpolymer distance is much bigger than stretch polymer length. And then, indeed, this is the case of consideration. Okay, so now what is known about this case? And let me start. So my strategy is to implement what I learned from stretching of one polymer into this description, to basically to relate stress tensor to the velocity field, to gradient of velocity field. why any relation at all? Well, because my polymer is stretched in this velocity field, and force which is acting on polymer, and therefore force which is acting from a polymer to the fluid, is a function of this, of basically stretching rate of Lyapunov exponent of velocity field. I want to relate, therefore, through this kind of half passive consideration, stress tensor and rate of strain or velocity gradient. But let me proceed kind of slowly and address first kind of linear case, a simple case. Case when a polymer is still in a linear regime, when large-scale velocity field is not very intense, and then you have a linear equation for rho, and therefore you can write a linear equation for tau. Well, basically because elastic force in this case is also proportional to rho, right? And that is known under the name of Oldroyd B model. So in the case of just two springs. I'm sorry, two beads connected by one spring. This is more or less analytic. And you observe that there is no steady state within this equation. What I mean by this, that those two terms, so stretching and elasticity, they cannot be equilibrated basically because they are scaled in the same way. So it is the same tau. So what happens if your velocity field is really intense? Then you cannot write a closed equation for tau, but still I have this equation. Well, I have equation for nonlinear polymer, and in this equation, if my velocity field is my sigma is large scale, and it's what I am assuming, I'm easily approaching steady state when this term is not important anymore. So basically, my polymer is following local velocity gradient. So there is balance between those two terms. And this way, you can deduce rho, and you can relate tau and sigma. Or in this case, sigma is characterized by largest eigenvalue. And in this story, it plays a role of Lyapunov exponent. So Lyapunov exponent from a previous story is now largest eigenvalue of sigma. And of course, it is a matrix structure, which is kind of not very simple, but explicit. This is my constitutive equation for intensive flow. So I assume that flow is intense, and I related tau to sigma, tau to lambda. Lambda is the eigenvalue of sigma. And this relation is local, so there are no gradients. This relation is local but nonlinear. In a linear case, there is no such thing as a local relation. Well, basically, there is no steady state achieved. Nonlinear in lambda, in a sense, in sigma. Sigma is a velocity gradient. Okay? This is kind of a general picture that you have. And now you can start studying this Navier-Stokes with, well, non-Newtonian hydrodynamics described within this approximation, within this problem. It is already large scale, so I already caused grain with respect to polymer, scale of polymer, right? So I have hydrodynamics. Which is explicitly given. Now let me show you what is experiment, what is the standard experiment is, and let me try to explain some part of this experiment based on this picture. And of course, picking up some particular case, some particular limits, and all this. So this is a very nice phenomena which Victor and his student Sasha Groisman discovered. So they have more or less standard setup. They have two disks. One is rotating, and they apply. They maintain frequency of rotation, and they're measuring torque. And they start from just simple fluid, and the case they consider is very viscous. So there is a perfect shear, perfect linear profile at zero concentration of polymer. And they start adding polymers. And what they observe instability first, and then turbulence, which emerged. Turbulence, this kind of turbulence is, of course, has nothing to do with Navistock's turbulence. There is no cascade. It's pure discipline. Why they call it turbulence? Because there are many scales involved, and they have, they put some dyes, and there is some optic system, so they observe distribution of those dyes, and they reconstructed velocity field. And this is a picture in a turbulent regime. Turbulent, elastic, pure elastic turbulence regime. So what is the effect? The effect is that you have turbulence, you have a very effective mixing already at a Reynolds number, which is very small. Viscosity is very big, and in spite of this, you still can have a very effective mixing. So how can we explain this based on this picture of this nonlinear relation between stress tensor and rate of strain I just showed on the previous transparency. They describe these many scales involved. So this is a picture, of course, but then what they have, they took a power spectrum of velocity fluctuations integrated along this upper plate, along the plane. They observe non-trivial scaling. So I'll give you some simple arguments about the scaling, how to get it. Yeah, she is no longer linear, and you see in a non-turbulent regime, in a pure shear regime, you would see just black, black circle, and see there are many scales involved, and scaling is really non-trivial. Okay, so what is the little theory I have for that case? Okay. This is the previous slide with non-Newtonian hydrodynamics, and now let me start, cutting different terms in a general picture, in a general description. So first of all, viscosity. Well, I want to explain first of all this non-trivial scaling and mixing. So I want to explain that indeed many scales are excited. Power law in the power spectrum of velocity fluctuations. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, viscosity is big, and it means that advection is really not important in comparison with viscosity. Reynolds number here. Okay. Probably I need to. Well, it was 0.7. Yep. And, okay, fine. So first of all, advection is not important. Secondly, I'm in regime. I want to explain turbulent regime, so mixed regime. Therefore,
what is turbulence?
Turbulence here is many scales, which they saw.
What quantity?
Power spectrum of velocity fluctuations. This is integrated object, and this is in the frequency domain. They reconstructed it from a dye concentration, so they have some optical system to visualize the flow. Well, of course, yeah, yeah. So, well, actually, they did not resolve what they measured. Well, they did resolve special scale as well, but it's much dirty data. And but yes, we are going to assume that they are related. You will see in a second. Okay, so as I said, there is no advection. So advection is neglected in comparison with viscosity. But also, I am going to neglect viscosity in comparison with dissipation due to elasticity, because I am in this already developed pure elastic regime. Okay, and that is precisely what I have here. And well, this is a term which I put, which kind of mimicking these large scale excitations, which I certainly have here, because I already came through instability. So you can forget about this term for a second. And P is to restore due to incompressibility. Tau is non-linear related to sigma, and this equation is a result of taking gradient of that equation. So it is just non-linear diffusion, right? Non-linear diffusion, it is non-linear because tau depending non-linear on sigma, non-linearly on sigma, and for particular model I will take, which is kind of reasonable one, so I have a first order correction to just hook elasticity, which is a fourth order one. Well, I'm sorry, it's Hessian, sorry. Hessian of pressure, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah, of course. Doesn't matter, so large scale. Large scale forcing, okay? So forget about this term. What I'm going to do a simple scaling, Pearman scaling, and to show that indeed the 7.5 is emerging as a result of very, very simple scaling consideration. If you'll take nonlinear potential governed by this first order nonlinearity, this is very straightforward. Very straightforward indeed. Just dimensionality consideration. And I'm not insisting that it will survive if you will take it, if you will consider it more seriously. I mean, if you will take serious theoretical description of this. Also, what? Okay, of course. Well, it's just pure scaling. So tau is related. Okay, it's not here. Maybe it is here. Tau is related to lambda, which is actually sigma. So I'm just following. Forget about indexes. This is tau is lambda squared if you assume this nonlinear potential. And then you just have scaling relations. So time is related to scale, and typical fluctuation of lambda on a current scale is related to current scale in a certain power or time on a certain power. So just very straightforward. Right. Capital N is the number of bits in this string model. So model with many bits connected by N springs. If you take another potential, you'll get another answer. You'll get different scaling, but this is kind of very natural one. That's why you're taking four. In Ginzburg-Landau, five-fourth law, but not further. Okay. Any case, this is not a point. Point is that source. I'm not insisting on this scaling. Maybe it will change, and maybe the data will go further. But I'm saying that source of this many scales, so production of those many scales, intermittency, or I'm sorry, not intermittency, but what they're calling turbulence. Non-trivial scaling behavior is originating from a very simple fact that dissipation is nonlinear. So nonlinear dissipation is enough to get that kind of effect. I can do a little bit better than just scaling analysis. I can do through Martin Cicero's technique or through Weiss diagrammatic technique, just simple-minded, but a little bit better analysis of convergence, and at least first order diagram is convergent. But, you know, we know that we need to be very careful with that kind of things. Yep.
Uh,
Well, actually, it depends on the kind of nonlinearity. So what is important is that you have power which is more than one. So tau is lambda squared, but not square root of lambda. So it's above one. And it's, well, it's kind of very, very general. So basically, if you start from, let's say, you have just uniformly distributed spot, and you let it diffuse, and you are creating little fluctuations on the edge of the spot. And if your diffusion is nonlinear, this spot, this little tip, will start to develop. This is, well, very, very general, a simple mechanism because of nonlinear diffusion. Well, of course, there is rotation, but... but they're reconstructing velocity.
That's their business, but what I would like to mention is that we know there are flows of conventional fluid flows with Reynolds number of order 1, so that the velocity is simple.
Ah.
The passage colors are very complicated, and so I'm not sure this is not an artifact. I don't know. But yeah, I
can give. I have few slides. I will bring. Okay. Yep. Well, I in principle, I can do the same for any power you wish, and I'll get different scaling here depending on alpha. I'll get different scaling. Yeah, of course, larger stacks, yeah. Larger power than 2. Of course, but in, well, how you justify in a Ginsburg Landau truncation? By, no, here it is kind of the same thing. Right. Yeah, that's right, but why not 8th power or something, 10th power? What? Logic. Yeah, that's right. I really need logic asymptotics, right. So, as I said, it may be just coincidence that I got 7.5, but what is important is that this mechanism is explaining this mixing. This is my claim. Yeah. Right. So last slide is, instead of conclusion, let me just speak. Okay. Instead of conclusion, just speculation about how can it be extended to, again, on a phenological kind of level, to inertial elastic turbulence. What I mean by this, I mean situation when we still have an inertial range, and we start, so let's start from pure fluid without additives, and let's increase, well, let's add more polymers, let's increase concentration and see what happens. So first thing happened when, so you start from a situation where concentration is very low. So on a viscous scale, on a Kolmogorov scale, dissipation is much smaller than just standard viscous dissipation, your elastic dissipation, dissipation due to polymers. But once you increase concentration, those two things will equilibrate, and if you keep increasing concentration, you will you are producing new scale, which is natural to call elastic scale, and therefore your effective viscosity is increased because your scale of dissipation is increased. And that may be enough to explain drag reduction according to Lumley's theorem, very nice theorem, not theorem, but theory, to explain drag reduction in a channel. You just need to explain drag reduction, you need to explain increase of effective dissipation, increase of viscosity, effective viscosity in a bulk. Because it is accompanied, so bulk viscosity increase is accompanied with the swelling of a boundary layer, and this is effectively drag reduction. And you can speculate further about what will happen if concentration becomes even larger. So particular situation which may happen is a particular restriction which you may you may need to apply to this language, to this description, basically your polymer will start talking to each other, this will eventually stop this kind of description, this process, this kinetic theory approximation. It will break down, and there is yet another critical concentration which will be explaining this effect. So thank you.